Welcome to the WCA Podcast, a production of Classical Parent University at Westside Christian Academy. We desire to give you glimpses into practical ways that you can partner with WCA to make your child's education here as full and as rich as possible as you discover the gem that is classical Christian education. Welcome to the Westside Christian Academy podcast. I'm your host, Meg Anthony, and today we're going to be delving into the topic of why Latin. Latin partners very well with classical Christian education, and it is foundational for your child's classical Christian education. Studying Latin is shown to improve mental discipline and indirectly improve English vocabulary and usage, as well as opening doors to reading the classical and technical literature. So today I will be joined by Bridget Plummer and Candy Maddox, who make up our Latin department, and they will be giving us some insight into what Latin looks like here at WCA, why it's so important, and how we as parents can come alongside of our students who are learning Latin and support their education in the Latin field. Listen in. All right, Latin is a significant part of what we do here at WCA. Originally, when we first came to WCA, Latin began in third grade, and then a few years ago, it started in kindergarten. So I'm here with Bridget Plummer and Candy Maddox, and they're going to kind of introduce themselves and then tell a little bit how they came to be a part of the Latin program here at WCA.
Hi, my name is Candy Maddox, and I'm the grammar school Latin teacher here at WCA for first through sixth grades. This is my fourth year teaching at WCA and my fourth year of learning Latin right along with the students. My background, undergraduate degree, is in chemistry. I had thought of medical school at the time, but God kind of steered me into mission work when I was in college, and I ended up teaching English as a second language in Bosnia and Herzegovina for 4 years. And learning the Bosnian language along with that. I then worked for 10 years at the sending base for my organization as a field preparation coach. And then fast forward that to 4 years ago when we were enrolling our boys here for the first year at WCA, and I discovered they were looking for a Latin teacher. I felt like God just kind of like pierced my heart to be interested in that because I knew Bosnian was an inflected language like Latin, which we'll talk about in a minute. I thought maybe I could learn the grammar a little bit easier that way. Also, knowing the background of English, having taught English as a second language, and how much of our English language comes from Latin, I felt like maybe the vocabulary wouldn't be as much of a stretch. So I applied, and yeah, God opened the door for me to come on board. So I've grown a lot through the process and end up loving the language and loving teaching all of your children. So.
Awesome. I did not know that all about you. That's really good to know. What about you, Bridget?
Hi, I'm Bridget Plummer, and I teach the upper school Latin program, Latin 1, 2, and 3, and we've moved it to 7th, 8th, and 9th grade now. I came as a substitute, I think, 6 years ago, and there was a need for a Latin sub, and I was greeted at the door on a summer day by a woman that our children had played soccer together. Kathy Foldesy greeted me with a great big hug and said, "Oh my goodness, yes, we'd love to have you, and you can teach Latin, that's even better." So that was 6 years ago, and from being a sub, I was asked to come on as a teacher, and then part-time, and then full-time. My training is a Bachelor of Science in Geology, so I needed a lot of the sciences to get a bachelor's degree in geology. And my husband and I homeschooled our four children through grade school and high school. And one of the first things we agreed on when we decided to homeschool was that we felt confident in our ability to teach math and science, and we both agreed on Latin. We both loved the Latin language when we were in school. So we, having taught Latin to our own students and to the homeschool co-op, I had a good 10, 12 years of teaching basic Latin, and that gave me a little bit of a comfort zone to come into WCA. And apparently there's not a lot of people who love Latin the way some of us do. And we walked in, and I'm just, I feel really blessed and really, I'm very grateful that my nerd brain has found a happy home here in a Christian school where we get to share our faith and mm-hmm. and our love of the language of Latin.
I remember the first day that I met you, and I was subbing in a Latin class for Kelly Brenner, who was out for a long time, very sick, and you were subbing in second grade, I think, and you came in and you said, why don't we switch? This is, neither one of us are in our comfort zones. It was funny. So can you kind of give us a brief overview of the Latin program here at WCA? So you start teaching in first grade. Do the kindergartners get a little bit of Latin?
They do. The kindergarten assistant does the Latin for kindergarten, but they start off with some basic colors and numbers and just kind of an introduction that kind of partners with the things they're already learning in kindergarten to help with that. In first grade, we start with a Latin curriculum, a book, and comes with a CD, so we're learning songs and trying to make it fun and kind of hands-on in those early years to get some of the vocabulary down and just kind of help their brains to think in more than one language a little bit, make connections with the words that we have in English that come from Latin. So when we start in third grade, though, we do get more into the Latin grammar, and it becomes a little more serious in that they start taking quizzes and are asked to memorize the vocabulary words and begin to understand the inflection of the nouns and conjugating verbs and that kind of thing starting in third grade.
Okay. And then in upper school?
In upper school, it's interesting that you asked that. We have we've all been asked to express our vision for the language department as the school is growing. And it's wonderful to talk to Candy and Abby Ponce, Guevara Ponce, that our goal is to engage the children in the foreign language and learning the culture and the history of Latin. So in the foreign language department, I'll focus on Latin. Not just the grammar and the writings and the hard work of discerning the language and the breakdown of the language, but the writings and the history and the culture of Rome and the Roman Empire. There's a lot there to learn, and in seventh grade we begin with the basic grammar. Anybody can walk in seventh grade. Candy is making a huge impression in the seventh for my seventh grade students, because we are flying through that Latin one book. But any seventh grader can walk in, because it's a program designed to start at the beginning. And then in that Latin one group, it's the founding of Rome and the seven kings, and we talk about the history as well as nouns and verbs and how they work together and that basic grammar of the language. And then Latin 2, it's the Caesars and the empire and how the empire grew and the writings that go along with that. And in Latin 3, it gets into the more complex, the politics of Rome, the intricacies of the politics, and the high level of writing from Cicero and Livy and Virgil. And we're doing deeper, harder readings, and of course we get into the big subjunctive mood third year, and that is the language of poets. And it's the language of that Paul, if you read Paul's letters, if you ever read them and try to make sense of his 12 clause sentences, I mean, he was a Roman, trained, educated Roman, so he writes in the language of the Latin 3 and what we're trying to learn. So it's a beautiful program, and the curriculum we're using right now in upper school is lovely Christian worldview, history, and beautiful and a well-established grammar. So it's I'm really happy with the what we're using right now.
Right. So a lot of parents, I think, come to WCA and they think, why Latin? This is a dead language. Why are we learning this? So what are your thoughts? How would you answer that question of why are we learning a dead language? How is it beneficial?
Well, I had a colleague share with me an article not too long ago that I thought was good. It just argued how Latin is no more dead than English, honestly. Like, if we have our students read Beowulf in upper school, if they were to try to read that in the language that it was written in, it was pure English language, right? But English has changed and morphed since that time. But it doesn't mean that Beowulf wasn't written in English, you know what I mean? And so learning English now, it's come from that language. It's not that that language is dead, it's just changed and shifted. And same thing with Latin, like there's the five Romance languages that are still very much alive and use Latin, and half of our words in English are, you know, Latin rooted. So you know, it's dead in the sense that it's not spoken in that form, but because it's not spoken, it's also not changing. And so we can kind of dissect it in ways that you can't often do with a modern language. And so that's really important. Also, Latin is an inflected language, which I kind of mentioned before, and it kind of helps students to get like a visual and even just like to hear the place of the words in the sentence in a much different way than many modern languages are doing today. And so if you read anything about like classical education, there's Dorothy Sayers and Cheryl Lowe that are adamant that the grammar that is learned is a Latin grammar because of its inflection and the fact that you can learn that structure, you know, so much better, and then learn your own English grammar, you know, better because you're learning it through the eyes of Latin.
So do you feel like learning Latin is going to help students in their English grammar
Absolutely.
Down the road in their writing?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Forming more structured sentences, I'm sure Bridget can speak to that more in upper school. But I think even in grammar school, we're learning, you know, adjectives and, you know, prepositions and objects of prepositions in Latin, but then they're like able to compare and contrast that to English, and it's helping them see how that fits into a sentence in a much, you know, in a different, from a different view, and it kind of helps them understand it more, I think.
Right. That's incredible. I think it's so interesting too, to when my kids have, my third grader comes home with the vocabulary and you're like the derivatives and you're enlightened by, oh my word, this is that word that came, this is where this word that we have came from, this Latin root word, and it's very eye-opening. So I've also heard, we've been told that learning Latin helps to unlock parts of the brain. Obviously, especially as middle age and older, like how do we unlock these parts of the brain? So how does Latin unlock those parts of the brain as you teach it to students?
Well, there have been studies that have shown that, and again, Dorothy Sayers and Cheryl Lowe have said that because it's analytical, so we're dealing with both sides of the brain in Latin. There are it's a very organized language. The nouns are in declensions, and the declensions have cases, and every part of speech is assigned a case per sentence, and each sentence is a little puzzle, and you can, through grammar, see each word in the sentence and the job it does by seeing the endings that it has. And verbs are organized in conjugations, and those conjugations have endings, and those tenses, there are tenses within the conjugations. And then there are moods, and then there's organization and structure in the grammar of the language. So that can pull in those analytical brains. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's words. It's the beauty of words. It's the structure of words. It's the pictures that those words paint. So the creative side and the artists and the wordy students can jump in there. So it's a beautiful blending of analytical and creative sides of the brain. And you're gonna see kids that are good in different areas. You'll see the artists do renderings or performances of some of the translations we do, and you're going to see the kids are going to be great at parsing and perfect at translating, and they can blend together. So there's something for every student to pull from. And the other side, which I've been doing this teaching for a while, is strengthening the weaker side. So exposing the students to other sides, like you are capable of the analytical, you are capable of the creative, even if it's not your comfort zone.
Right.
So we can expose them to new ways of thinking that is not their easy pre-programmed brain. Let's build new synapses. Let's get you out. I think I tell all my students and every year, my goal is to get you to think in a different way than the way you came in. If you come in as a seventh grader, I don't want you leaving thinking like a sixth grade, seventh grader. I want you leaving on a trajectory toward 12th grade and beyond, like a learner, a lifetime learner. So it's not, it's taking their giftedness, but challenging them in their giftedness to grow in all aspects of learning.
Right.
Yeah, not just to, this is what you do and this is all only what you do. So it can unlock both sides of the brain and expose students to just the beauty of the language and a culture that they don't know. And the older I get and the younger students get, it's like, well, that's a weird thing to do. I'm like, well, is it a weird thing or is it just a different thing?
Right.
And what do we do today that's comparable?
Right. So we often see that Latin is paired with a classical Christian education. They go together hand in hand. So how do they support each other? What does that look like?
Well, because of the Western civilization, it was the cradle of our of what we're based on.
Mm-hmm.
Classical Christian, let's see. Well, Christ came to this earth during the time of the Roman Empire, during the time of the Augustan Age, the Golden Age of the Roman Empire, where the Latin language was, other than Asian countries, it was a consistent language in a time of tribes and kingdoms, right? So that language was all over or being spread through Europe and the British Isles and the Mediterranean, North Africa, parts of Asia. So that language was common. So then Christ comes into this world as a Jewish man in the Roman Empire. His followers knew the Latin language. His followers, Paul, could write in that language. So that it was a vehicle for spreading the word of the Lord, right? And then in those people pursuing Christ, what I've read is that the scholars, and when the Dark Ages came in, the people who held dear to discovering Christ had that language. They had a common language that they could all go back to. It wasn't the only language that it was in. There was Greek, there was Aramaic, but Latin was a part of that puzzle, right? So people who held on to Latin and wanted to pursue the Lord were also the people who were pursuing the Lord in sciences, in arts, in music. So I don't think it's a coincidence that Latin was the language of the scholars and of the academics. And I think there's a beauty in it that we need to rediscover in our Christian faith and in our classical education.
And I think with classical education, we don't want our children to learn one subject in isolation from all the others, right? We really value that they see those connections from history to science to language, you know. And I think Latin, because like Bridget was saying, all those ideas were being worked out in the language of Latin. We see across, you know, mathematics and science and law, like all the vocabulary of those subjects is based in Latin, you know, and like learning a new subject. The majority of the work is learning the vocabulary of it, right? And I think that giving our students a foundation in Latin, they come to each subject having a hook already there for them to hook onto, you know, and they can kind of start to see those connections being made across different subjects with the language of Latin.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that a lot of our great thinkers and the people that we study maybe wrote in Latin or were educated in Latin.
Yes.
It helps to go back to the root of where that all came from.
I just want to interject again, if I didn't say it well. The people that we're still studying, they were in pursuit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking to glorify the Lord, and how God showed himself through their pursuit. Latin was a part of that discovery and a part of that expression of what they were putting into words in their way of glorifying the Lord. Mm-hmm. I really, in science, they were seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brilliance in that, and we need to remember that.
Yeah. So for families or parents that come in and they maybe, you know, did not have this type of education, they did not learn Latin, they don't, at least they don't think they know Latin, right? How do we as parents offer support, right? What does that look like in the grammar school? What does it look like in the upper school? It's going to be far more difficult, but what does that look like?
Well, starting very young, first and second grade, we send home CDs. So I'm sure you all are like, not the CD again. But yeah, those are just, you know, fun ways to kind of reinforce the grammar at home for those early years. In third grade, they will begin bringing home flashcards with their vocabulary words to memorize. So just taking 5 minutes a night, if you can, to help quiz your student, you know, on their vocabulary words is a huge help. They do bring home study guides with some grammar points on them to learn. So they should always have something that they're reviewing in Latin. Like usually on the schedule that we're on, it's like every other week is when they'll have a quiz over something. So if you could just, you know, provide support, value it as a subject, you know, and help your students to take that time to review the material. That's huge.
Yeah, we as parents don't want to be saying to our children or in front of our children, this is silly, why are we learning Latin, right? We want to come alongside it and support it. And that's part of why we're doing this, is so when we have a greater understanding of the benefits of this and what it looks like, then we can undergird them with support from home. I think the other thing, don't you put something on, is there a Quizlet or something?
Yeah, I do. On the Google Classroom, I try to, starting in third grade, put some resources on there, some online flashcards if your student is just more like visually, like learns visually, or even the chants I try to record and put on them for them to listen at home. Some people just need to hear that over and over again. So I'm trying to put some more resources out there for parents, so you can always check out the Google Classroom or reach out to me if you need any other support.
Inevitably, my student comes to me while I'm preparing dinner. Can you quiz me on Latin? Here, do it on Quizlet. I'll do it afterwards. Do it now, here for now. What about an upper school? How can we come alongside and support and encourage from home?
Upper school is it's a delicate balance because we're trying to encourage independence and ownership of the grades. That being said, I gladly make this public service announcement that upper school 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, they could be studying Latin every night, parents. So if you never see that book, that's a conversation you can say, oh, you know what? You have a quiz every Friday or a Thursday if we don't have Friday classes. What's your quiz on this week? Have you studied for it? And if it's vocab, any parent can blunder through the vocab.
Sometimes mutilate the pronunciation, but that's okay.
The student can also learn to correct it. Yes, there you go. There's a quiz every week. Engaging your child, you're just looking at the book with them. What are you learning about? What's the history? So, and that I should probably be doing a better job, probably sharing with parents. This is what we're doing this week. But again, it's that delicate balance because we want the students to own it and pick it up. And yet I'm now teaching in that dialectic stage where it's a teeter-totter of a balance. Like, you don't want them to completely fall off, but you don't want to hold their hand the whole way through it.
Well, it is it's a delicate balance in upper school, right? Because you're teaching them to be independent, and most of the time they are, right? And you see the grades are there, and you're like, okay, they're doing fine, but sometimes it's just probing the conversation and what are you learning in Latin, or what's the history of that you're learning in Latin, or some of those kinds of things to just promote dialogue and conversation. What about resources? So say there's a parent that really wants to have a deeper understanding, or maybe they even, beautiful thing, want to learn Latin themselves. Where do they go? Are there resources or things that you have all learned or have used for your own selves as you've developed a learning of Latin that you would say are great resources?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was kind of just trying to stay a step ahead of the students that first year. So I was like in the book, you know, reading everything I could in the book that they brought, you know, that I was using with the students. So there's a lot you can read in your students' textbook. I mean, there's also With the grammar school curriculum, it's kind of designed for homeschoolers as well as classical Christian schools, and so there are DVDs you can purchase where there's someone teaching it on a DVD. Yeah. So if someone was really interested in learning that too, then I could send a link, you know, to how you could get that DVD for yourself, or if you wanted to reinforce it, have your children watch it at home again, that's great. But there are also some websites. There's one called Latin Tutorial that I've gone to. It has some good videos just with breakdowns on explaining some of the grammar concepts. There's another course called Visual Latin that you can buy and kind of learn at home with videos. And like a Latin 101, I think, that I borrowed from the library when I first was getting started. But there's a lot of like learn-it-yourself Latin things out there, but it's, you know, it's not something you're going to learn in a weekend, you know, like I'm on my fourth year here and I'm still like very much learning as I go. So
yeah. There's no crash course available.
No, unfortunately. Yeah.
No, I would just look through your kids' textbooks.
Yeah.
They lay it out beautifully. Mm. And I think, you know, when students are young, they don't see what we can see as adults. We can see the logic and reasoning and we can go, oh, I see where they're going with that. So before they throw away their book at the end of Latin 1, you know, snag it and leaf through it. And the same with Latin 2 and the same with Latin 3. I know they enjoy getting rid of them at the end of the school year. But I love this curriculum. And then what I have done is I've started a collection of the Lieb Classical Library. They're little tiny red and green books with Greek and Roman history, and just reading about the poets and the history and the authors that were writing. And then it's a lovely translation. There's the Latin on one side and English on the other. And so you can read the English and then read through the Latin and see the similarities. Yeah. That to me is, that immersion is just going to give you, you may not ever learn the language, but seeing it and reading it, you'll become more familiar with it and the writings of the people that we're studying.
I know my own son, who is taking Greek, and he called me up and he was like, don't tell Mrs. Plummer, which I definitely did tell Mrs. Plummer, that he wishes he had paid more attention in Latin. And I think it's one of those things that you don't really appreciate until you're beyond it, right? So if we can encourage our students to really develop a love for this and cast a vision for what it's, how it's going to benefit them later on, maybe learning different, a new language or you know, different things, maybe it's law school or medical school or whatever comes beyond, that there's great benefit here. And so, yeah.
I did have my seniors, I have a senior class that I'm teaching, not Latin, but I asked them if they wanted to take a practice national Latin exam, and they all wanted to.
Yeah.
And they were all very excited to see how well they did. And they were delighted in how well they did really well in the translation and answering the questions from the translation, which was lovely to see.
In 2 years later. In high school, they're done with Latin in ninth grade, correct?
Well, now they are, yes. So I haven't seen these students since 10th grade, and they're 12th grade now. Yeah. So we were all lovely, delighted that
what was retained.
Yes. So
there's benefit to learning it when you're young.
Yes.
Right?
There is, and that's true, and exposing the kids to the language. And different cultures.
Well, thank you both so much. I appreciate both of you and your willingness to be here and teaching Latin and learning it as you go at times too. I remember listening to a podcast about it was one of Doug Wilson's daughters, and she said she started kindergarten. Her dad started this school, and he was going to school for his master's and learning Latin a week ahead of what he was teaching these little kindergartners. And that's how it goes sometimes.
Lifelong learners, that's what we're trying to do.
Exactly. Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you.